Begin the current taf misach the Shabbos taf lamed vav. We begin on the bottom of lamed hayim and beis on the bottom, two lines from the bottom. The Gemara continues from the previous discussion that spoke about that they would blow six blasts on the erev Shabbos to remind people to stop doing melacha, light the candles. One mandama wanted to say that after the sixth blast, there's still a few minutes, so go ahead and light if you need to, because the one who blew the shofar on the roof has time to get to his house. The Gemara said no, because then you're going to make, depending how far the guy lives, that's how long he's going to have. And therefore, fakir, the Gemara said that the moment he finishes the sixth blast, he goes and he puts it down over there, as the Gemara said, because he can't carry it home once it's Shabbos. Even if it's a Rosh Hashanah, there's no problem of carrying, there's a problem of mukta, and that is, as the Gemara ended off on the previous stuff, lefisha im metalten leis a shefer leis a chatzaitis, that you're not allowed to carry not a shefer, not a trumpet on Shabbos because of a problem of mukta. So now the Gemara asks, v'hatanya, we learned in the Braisa, shefer metaltel v'chatzaitis hit metaltelim. It's not true, we learned in the Braisa that a shefer could be moved and carried, it's just a trumpet that can't be carried. And the difference is because a trumpet, since it's curved a little bit, so you can draw water with it and you can use it to give water to drink for a child, so therefore it's not something that's a muktzah that only has a iser purpose, which is would be blowing the shofar, that you're not allowed to blow a shofar on Shabbos, so therefore it would be considered a kli shemalach l'iser, as we're going to see, a kli that's only designated for an iser purpose, for a transgression, that makes the object muktzah. Here it has a permitted purpose, which is to draw the water, and therefore you're allowed to carry it, because it has a mutter digger purpose. Whereas the chatzaitz, the trumpet, is straight, and therefore it's only fit to blow. You can't go ahead and use it to draw water, because it doesn't have a receptacle that it's going to flow right out. So therefore that's called something that's a dabba shemalach l'iser. So it's something that's its main purpose, its only purpose, is something of a prohibited purpose. And that's why it would be asr al tzmukta. So therefore, how could we have said that the reason why it's over and he has to sort of put down the shofar right there and he can't carry it home because it's mukta and you can't carry it? We see in the braisa that the shofar is not mukta. So Rav Yosef l'kasha, Rav Yosef is not a difficulty. Kan b'yachad kan b'tzibur. There where we said that it's not mukta, that's the braisa we just quoted, that's by an individual. An individual could go ahead and use his shofar to go ahead and give to a child to drink. He could draw the water with the shofar and it's going to be stuck somewhere there in the shofar. However, our case is talking about that the shamash who blew for the entire city, the shofar for the city, that is mukta, that's kalisha malachtel, it's a vessel that's only used for blowing. That is, you can't go ahead and use it for drawing the water because it's not your own private shofar, it's for the whole tzibur, and that you can't use for a mundane purpose of drawing water for the child, and that's why it's going to be awesome. However, Amalei Abaye asks like this, let's go back. Why by an individual, what's it fit for that we're going to say it's not only a kli, the vessel that's only a malacha, that it's only purpose is for something that's forbidden, that's asr, that it has a permitted purpose also. But since it's fit to feed water, and we continue on to tabalam and rovam ralf, latinic, because like we mentioned before, you go ahead and draw water for a child, so therefore it's not mukta. It's not true by the public. You can also use a shofar that they have to go ahead and give water to drink to a child that's poor, because the tzibur has a chiv to be mefarnes and to feed the poor child. So therefore, it's not only for blowing; it's also used for feeding if it was a poor child. And even more so, haditanya. This we learn in a different brayse. We learn in a different brayse that just like you're allowed to carry a shofar on Shabbos, so too you're allowed to carry a trumpet on Shabbos. So who's that going to be like? Why isn't it mukta? You just said that it's going to be a problem of mukta because it's kli shemalach l'iser. So who is that like? So therefore, he wants to answer Abaye and say that you have to resolve it, that they're all three different tanaim. Eloi kasha. It's not like Rabbi Yosef. Rather, Harab Yehuda, Harab Shimon, and Harab Nechemiah. Each one of these three opinions is a different tanaim. That is the case that said that the shofar can be carried, but the trumpet cannot be carried because it's mukta. That's because the shofar, like we mentioned, has a law of a vessel on it. As we mentioned before, that's Rabbi Yehuda, who holds the laws of mukta. And therefore, when it's only used for iser, let's say, a trumpet, that's going to be mukta. But whereas a shofar that has a permitted usage for it, that's not mukta. And therefore, shofar will be permitted to carry, and the trumpet will be asr to carry. The case that we said that both of them could be carried, the shofar and the trumpet, that's Rabbi Shimon, that he doesn't hold the halachas of mukta that far as Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore he says that both of them are permitted to use, even if it's a kli shemalach l'iser. It's not, so to speak, such a chumra de gemukta, and therefore Rabbi Shimon does not subscribe to that, and he holds that you're allowed to carry even the trumpet. This that we said, that even the shofar is not allowed to be carried, that was Rabbi Nechemiah, that he holds elsewhere in Shas, that even something like a knife, or even something like a talus, cannot be moved, it cannot be carried, only if it's being used for its exact tashmish, in other words, for the thing that it's designated for. And since the shofar is not designated for drawing water, although it could be used for a permitted purpose, since it's only designated for blowing the shofar, and that's asur on Shabbos, and therefore he considers even the shofar a klisha malachal isur, and that's why you can't carry, not only that you cannot carry the trumpet, you can't even carry the shofar. And therefore that's how it resolves it. Each one's a different tana, a different opinion, how they hold in the halachas of mukta. But now the Gemara says as a side, umay shofar nami, what is this when Nehemiah says that even a shofar cannot be carried on Shabbos? Nehemiah says that he first puts shofar, and then he says the trumpet. Not only the shofar cannot be carried, the trumpet also cannot be carried. But since once he already said you can't carry the shofar, then why do you have to say the case of the trumpet? It's a kosh game. Because if you can't carry the shofar, which at least has somewhat of a permitted usage, for sure not the trumpet. And that is because the trumpet you can't even use to go ahead and give a child to drink. So therefore, the Gemara says that when it really says the first case of shofar, it really means a trumpet. When it says at the end of the trumpet, it really means a shofar. And that is because the names change, as Rav Chisda says. As the Gemara says, Chatzaitzus, what is the case of shofar? It means a trumpet. Because Rav Chisda, like Rav Chisda said, Amar Rav Chisda, Hani Tlas Mila, these three things, Ishtani Shemayu Michachar Beis HaMikdash, from when the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, these three things had their name changed. And they were reversed. Chatzaitzrot, what was originally called a trumpet, is now shofar, is now what's known as a shofar. Shofar Chatzaitzrot, what was originally known as a shofar, is now a Chatzaitzrot, is a trumpet. It's called different names. In other words, the shofar of today is called the trumpet, and the chatzos of yesteryear is now called the shofar. So the Gemara asks, "Lamai nafkim? What's the practical difference? What does it make a difference what they call it?" So the Gemara says, "Very simple. The shofar shel Rosh Hashanah, and that is, you cannot blow on Rosh Hashanah with that what the common populace call shofar. Rather, the one they called chatzos that literally means trumpet is the one that's the real shofar." Or if, let's say, an Am Haaretz comes to ask with what should you blow, you tell him, blow with a chatzaitzis. You don't tell him to blow with a shofar, because a real shofar, they call chatzaitzis. And a real chatzaitzis, they call shofar. The second thing the Gemara says, Arava, what was originally called the willow, is now called Safzifa. And what was originally called Safzifa is now called Arava. Because the Gemara says, Lamayin asks, what's the difference? The Gemara says, Lululav. And that is because Safzifa is possible for the one of the four minim of Arava, for the lulav. And its leaves are round, and its stem is white, as the Gemara in Sukkah said. And that's different than how our willows are. And therefore, it's not kosher for the willow. It's not called Arvei Nachal. And therefore, it's not going to be kosher. So you should know that today, if you want to get Arava, the Gemara says, look for a Tzavtzifa. And if they call it Arava, then you know it's not kosher, because then it's really a Tzavtzifa. The third thing is, what was originally called Pesayra is now called Pesarta. What was originally called Pesarta is now called Pesayra. To which the Gemara says, Lamai Nafkim. And therefore, what's the difference? Lamai Kechimemcha for commerce. And that is, what they originally called Pesayra, a large table, was called Pesayra, and the small one was called Pesarta. Now they reversed it. Now, so to speak, the big one is called Pesarta, and the small one is called Pesayra, so you have to know for commerce, when you make up that he's going to sell you a Pesarta Pesayra, you have to know what it really means in today's common languages. So I'm Abaya. Abaya says, Af anu naima, we could also say. Now we could also add on to the three cases of Rav Chisda, because there are other things that have changed in the names. A fourth thing. That is, what was originally called Hovlila is called Bekasi. What was originally called Bekasi is called Hovlila. And what's important to know, he's talking about from the kosher animals, which are ruminants, and they have four stomachs. The first stomach is called the keres, that's the paunch. That's where the food begins to decay. Then from there it goes into the second stomach, which is called Beis HaKosis, what's known as the reticulum, where there it's softened into cuds. Then it goes back into the mouth, that's what they call Maligera. They bring it back up and they chew it again. Then it goes into the third stomach, which is the hemsis, which is known as the omisum. That's where the food dissolves, and that's where the word comes from. Mas is, it means to dissolve. Then it goes to the fourth stomach, which is called the keva. That's the maw, and that's the process of how the kosher animals, the ruminants, eat their food. So therefore, this halacha is related that originally they used to call the hemsis, which again we said is the third stomach, that's the omisum, they used to call that hovlila. And they used to call the beis hakosis, which is the reticulum, that's the second stomach, they used to call that beikasi. And now it was reversed. So therefore, what's the difference? As the Gemara says, Lamai nafkimina. The difference is, Lamechet shenimtzis bo'evi beis hakosis. If there was a needle that was found in the thick wall of the beis hakosis, of the reticulum. The difference is, the beis hakosis has a certain thickness to it. And inside it's made like a kosis, that's called beis hakosis, like a cup. And the thickness of the beis hakosis, it's a double wall that's attached, one with the other, with fat. And therefore, the mitzad echad ksheri, if the hole from the needle was on one side, that is, it only pierced through one side of the double wall, so then it's going to be ksheri, then it's kosher, because the other wall is closing it up. But if it's from both sides, that in other words, the hole goes through and through from the needle, then it's going to be treif, it's going to be non-kosher. And therefore, the base HaKosis, the reticulum, there you could differentiate if the hole is on one side or on two sides. But the hemsis, the yomasim, even on one side, that even if you don't see the hole on the outside, that's still considered as not closed, because since it's a very thin wall by the omasim, so therefore there would be treif even if it's only on one side. And therefore the Gemara is saying that what's called beikasi today, which is currently the hemsis, the omasim, that's possible even if there's a hole on one side. And what's called Havlila today, what is now currently the Beis HaKosis, the reticulum, that would be possible only if it's on both sides, and that's why it's important to know what we refer to, because it changed what was originally Havlila is because it was really because it is Havlila. Now the Gemara continues, Amr Avashi, Af Onanami, we could also say a fifth thing that changed, and that is Bavel, what was originally called Babylonia, is now called Borsiv. Borsiv, what was originally called Borsiv, is now called Bavel, it's called Babylon. Now, the Gemara continues on to Amud Beis. The Gemara says, "Lamai Nafkim." Now, what's the difference? What's the name of the locale? So the Gemara says, "Legiti Nashim." The difference is for the divorce documents for divorcing a woman, and that is because there's a specific halacha regarding the Bnei Bavel, those who live in Bavel, that they're bekiyin, they're proficient in the laws of the Giti Nashim. That is, there's halacha that a get has to be written lishma, has to be written for that woman. And someone that brings a get from there does not have to say b'fani necht, b'fani necht, that in front of me was written, in front of me was signed. Whereas all the other lands out of Eretz Yisrael, they're not so proficient in the halachas, and they have to say this line of b'fani necht, b'fani necht. Therefore now, the B'nai Borsav, those who live in what's known as Borsav, is really Bavel. And they don't have to say b'fani necht, b'fani necht. Whereas the people that live in Bavel of today is really Borsav, and they're Amoratzim, they're ignoramuses, they don't know the halacha, and therefore, although they're coming from Bavel, they would have to say in testimony, and say, in front of me this was written, in front of me this was signed, I know that it was written lishma, it was written for this woman, and that not they took something that was written for a general, and then they use it as a get. Another pshat is, a difference would be very practical difference for the divorce documents of women, and that is because there's halacha regarding that changing his name or her name or the name of his city or the name of her city, that it's puzzle, and therefore you have to write the name of the city as it is today, so it's important to know this geographical location, what is the name today, don't call it what it used to be called, although it used to be Bavel, now it's Borsav, so you have to write Borsav in the get, and that's why, or else it would be possible because you have to write how it's written today, and that would be another difference why it's important to know for Gitei Nashim what the name of the local is. Anloch by Manlikin, we finished the second parak in Masechta Shabbos, which a lot of it spoke about as the parak's name is by Manlikin, talking about the halachas of lighting the Neris of Shabbos. Now we continue on to the third parak of Masechta Shabbos, which speaks about the halachas of Bishul regarding cooking at Shabbos, and related to that sugi is the gzeira of Shehiya from Erev Shabbos, of letting things stay on the fire from before Shabbos, depending on the different gradations and the variations of how much it's cooked, there's going to be an issa of shia of leaving it there on the open flame because of the gezerah that we're concerned that someone might be mechate, might come to stoke the flames, and thereby be over on the issa of bishul derais. Begin the Mishnah. Kira, regarding an oven, there's different types of ovens in the times of the Mishnah. There's a tana, there's a kira, there's a kupach. One of the types is a kira that was made a rectangular, which had space for two different pots, whether on top of it or inside the oven. So such an oven, she'esiku b'kash of agava, which was heated with straw and with stubble. And straw is the upper part of the stalk of grain. And gava is the lower part, what's known as the stubble, which it remains attached to the ground once the wheat is cut off. So if an oven was heated with that type of a fuel, noistim ala tavshul, you're allowed to place on it a tavshul, a cooked dish from before Shabbos, and you're allowed to leave it there, and we're not concerned that you're going to be mechad, you're going to stoke the flames, because there's nothing to stoke when it's straw and stubble. Nothing's going to help to, so to speak, make it. There's no coals there to go ahead and make it into a larger fire. And therefore, we're not concerned you can do anything to be even this habitual on Shabbos. And we're going to see in the Gemara that there's a debate when it means this nisnim, that you could put on this cooked dish, if it means on Erev Shabbos to leave it from before Shabbos on, and we're not concerned that you might come to, so to speak, rake the flames on Shabbos, or it means regarding even returning it on Shabbos, that you're allowed to even put it back on Shabbos, because what are you going to do? So you're putting it back on, let's say you need it to be hotter, doing it with straw and stubble, it's not going to help anything, it's not going to get a bigger fire, so you're not going to do anything, therefore we weren't geizer. We're going to see in the Gemara relating to that. However, the Mishnah says, "Begefes or be'etzim," but if you heated the kira with mark or with wood, and that is gefes is this the pulp of sesame seeds that they draw out the oil, that residue is used as fuel, then lo yitin, then you're not allowed to place this cooked dish, again whether it means from before Shabbos or on Shabbos, on this open fire, because there is a concern that one might come to be mechate because it's something that you can stoke it and it'll make it into a big fire. So therefore, we're concerned that you might do this. So therefore, ad sheyigrif, until the coal, the fuel, this mark or this wood is shoveled away. And that is because, as we mentioned in the previous parak, there's a concern that you might be mechatbe kochalim on Shabbos. You might come to rake the coals on Shabbos. So therefore, if it's still there, we're concerned about it. Therefore, you have to either get rid of the coals, or oyat sheyit nesefer, until you put ashes on top of the coals to cover it and to cool it down. Thereby, you're showing that you're not really interested in so to speak, making it hotter because you're making it even cooler. That's what's known as the contemporary blech. It accomplishes the same purpose. Then one would be able to leave on this cooked dish, again, even if it's a type of fuel that you could rake, but if you either shovel out all the coals, so therefore you don't have that problem, or you cover it with ashes, that will make a mutter to neisna le, again, either it means from before Shabbos, shihiyah, or to bring it back on Shabbos, which is known as chazah. Now the Mishnah says, well, what exactly is mutter in this case that we just mentioned, when it's what's known as garf or katam, when either it was shoveled out, or that you put ashes on top of it to signify that you're not interested, so to speak, in making it hotter, you're even making it colder. You're allowed to put hot water, but not a cooked dish. And that is, you're allowed to put on hot water after you shovel out all the coals, because you don't need it to cook anymore, because hot water, once it's hot, it's hot. And therefore, there is no gzeirah shemichad that you might come to stoke it, because it's already hot. However, you can't put on a cooked dish, because the more it cooks, the better it is, and therefore you might come to stoke it, even if it's fully cooked, because it gets what's known as oiskekacht. It gets cooked out well, like a good shalom. And therefore, even if it's fully cooked, you're not allowed to put it on this. Even if you put on ashes on top of the flames, on top of the thing, even if it's garf or katim, you're still not allowed to have it if it's a cooked dish, only hot water. Hot water and a cooked dish, if you shoveled out the coals or if you covered it with ashes, then you're allowed to put both these items, hot water and a cooked dish. So now the Mishnah concludes and says, Bishama oimrim, neitl nabalim lachzir. However, you're allowed to remove the food, but you're not allowed to put it back. And that is, on Shabbos, because it's what's known as mechzik mevasha. It looks like you're cooking. If you're going to be able to put it back on the stove on Shabbos, it looks like you're cooking. Even if, so to speak, you took out all the coals and you covered it with ashes, it's still a problem. Even you could return it, again, since you took out all the coals. So what's the problem? Beis Hillel says you're allowed to put it back on Shabbos. Now the Gemara goes back to explain, as we mentioned in the Mishnah, what is this halacha that we're talking about, of that you're allowed to put on this cooked dish on a stove that's heated with straw and stubble, and you're not allowed to when it's heated with this pulp from the sesame seeds or from wood, which are things that could be made into a higher flame. So Ibailu, they asked the following question. Hai lo yitin. This that we said that you're not allowed to place a cooked dish on a fire that's fueled by wood or sesame seeds until it's shoveled out or you covered it with ashes. Does it mean lo yachzerhu, that you're not allowed to return the food on Shabbos? Avalishlis, but regarding to leave it from before Shabbos, then it's mashed, and then you can leave it avapisha in the garf in the katim, even if it's not shoveled or it's not covered, because this that we required, what's known again as garf akatim, the contemporary blech, to put it on, that's only regarding to return it on Shabbos. But from before Shabbos, no problem. Umani, who would be the town of a Mishnah? Chatanya, he would be Chananya. The town is lo nabraisa, Chananya oimer, kol shu kamaycha ben yisrael, anything that's cooked, at least the amount of, well, who was known as Bender Soy, he was a bandit that he ate his food, according to some sheets like Rashi, it's a third cooked, according to Rambam, it's a half cooked. Either way, it's something that is not fully cooked. Chananya says, Mutter l'shoysa gebekir, you're allowed to leave it from before Shabbos on the stove, afbish in the garf in the kotim, even if it's not shoveled out or it's not covered with ashes, and that is the whole Isser is only to return it. If you're returning it on the fire, an open fire on Shabbos, with something that you can rake the coals, or something that has coals, like wood that makes these embers, so then it has to be, so to speak, covered with a blech. But from before Shabbos, then there's no problem at all. And that was, so therefore, he would be the talmid of our Mishnah, that when it says that you're not allowed to put it, means to put on Shabbos, which is returning it. A dilma, or maybe the Gemara says, lishes tanan. When the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to put, it means from before Shabbos, which means to leave it. Then that is vigar for kadim in. If it's shoveled or if it's covered with ashes, then yes, you're allowed to leave it. Iloi loi, but if not, if you don't have a blech, so to speak, from before Shabbos, then you can't leave it. For koshik in lahachzen, definitely one would not be able to put it back on Shabbos, again, unless if there's a blech, unless if there's ashes or if you take out the coals, and therefore this tana, this rabbanon would hold that the explanation on Mishnah would be that it's usur, even shehiyah, even to leave it on from before Shabbos if it doesn't have a blech. So he wants to touch him out. I'll prove to you from our Mishnah. We learned in our Mishnah two clauses. That is, we had, after we spoke about the halacha of requiring this blech, we said two machlekes of Bisham and Bisil. First, the Mishnah said Bishami Oimrim Chamenu Lo Tafshel. Ubisil Oimrim Chamenu Tafshel. Bishami says that this that you're allowed to put, if you have this garf or custom, this blech, you shovel out all the coals or you put on ashes, is only hot water, but not a cooked dish, because cooked dish, the more it gets cooked, the better, even if it's fully cooked. Misil said you could put even hot water, even a cooked dish. Then the Mishnah said, "Bishama imim noitl nabalei mechzirin." You're allowed to take it off on Shabbos, but not allowed to put it back on Shabbos, even if you, so to speak, have a blech. Misilam abmezim says you could even put it back. So therefore, the Gemara develops the raya as follows: I amrit bishloima lishoitznan. If you're saying that the Mishnah was saying when it said in the beginning, and it says lo yitin, you're not allowed to put on a cooked dish on something unless if it's garf or katam, unless if it's shoveled, it has a blech. It means the case of letting it stay from before Shabbos. So hachikitani, this is what the Mishnah would be saying. Kirish esiku b'kasha b'gavu. An oven that was heated with straw with stubble. Then mashin ala tafshal. As we said, the case of noisnim would mean from before Shabbos, that you could leave it on this cooked dish from before Shabbos. B'gefes of eitzim, but if it was with mark and with wood, then lo yisha, then you cannot let it on even from before Shabbos. Atshi yigivu yisha yidin eifer. Until it's shoveled or until you put on ashes. And that would be, again, like we said, like the Rabbanan, not like the Chananya. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, and what are you allowed to leave on from before Shabbos? Again, because that's how we're explaining now, when you did garf or katim, when you shoveled it out, or you covered with ashes from before Shabbos, because that's what's required. So now, what are you allowed to leave on? And then, even from before Shabbos, only hot drink and not a cooked dish. And Bishlam says, no, even a hot drink and a cooked dish. And then the Mishnah goes on to the second clause, that the pligibulation, just like Bisham Bishagi argued, regarding, so to speak, what you're allowed to leave on for before Shabbos on the blech, that Bisham may say only hot drink and still hold even a cooked dish. Pligin nami v'lahav. So then the second clause comes to say that they argue also regarding the halacha of chazara, and that is whatever is permitted to be left on from before Shabbos. For example, like hot drink according to Bishamai, or even according to Basil, hot drink and cooked dish. Now that what you're allowed to leave on. Now there's machlekes says once you took it off on Shabbos, if what are you allowed to do when you're allowed to return it? That is Bishamai Oimim Noitl Nabalei Mechzirin, that you're allowed to only take it off the blech on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to put it back at all. And Basil Oimim Av Mechzirin, you could even put it back. So therefore we understand the purpose of the two clauses. Because we're first arguing about that they're arguing about Shehiyah, about what you're allowed to do from before Shabbos, and then they argue about what you're allowed to do on Shabbos, which is Chazar. Eliyamit Lahachzit Tanan. But if we're saying that the whole machlokes, the focus of the Mishnah is only talking about returning on Shabbos, and before Shabbos there is no halacha of a blech, no halacha of a garf, a katam, of having to shovel it out or cover it ashes. Before Shabbos, you're always allowed to leave it on as long as it's a third cook. So then, Hochik Tani, then you have to say that this is what the explanation of the Mishnah is. As the Mishnah says, Kirish esiku b'kasha v'gava, a kira, an oven, that is heated with straw with stubble. Machzir nalavitash. Again, we're explaining now that noisnim would mean that putting on Shabbos, which means returning it. You're allowed to return the cooked dish on Shabbos, if it's with straw with stubble. Because if it ate some loyachs, but if it's with something that's this flammable material, like wood, or with from the pulp of the sesame seeds, that you can't put back on Shabbos. Achiyigif oyachid nefer, unless if it was shoveled out, or if you put ashes on it. And then, obviously, the Mishnah would be explaining to Mahak Machzir. Now, what are you allowed to put back on? Because, again, we're only talking about putting back on. Before Shabbos, Shehiyah, Beisham, Bisil, everyone agrees you're allowed to do everything without a blech. So, obviously, now the Mishnah's first clause is explaining regarding Chazar. Beisham, Oimim, Chamna, Vloy, Tavshel. You're allowed to put back on Shabbos only a hot drink and not a cooked dish. Bisil, Oimim, Chamna, Tavshel. You're allowed to put back even, not only a hot drink, but even a cooked dish. And then we go to the second clause. Beisham, Oimim, Noit, Vloy, Machzir. You're allowed to take off, but you're not allowed to put back. And obviously we're talking about a cooked dish because Beishami say you're allowed to put back on a hot drink. Ubisil loimrim, but Beisil say af machzirin, you could even put back. The question is hasul amali. Why do I need this? It's redundant. We already said in the Reisha, the first case, that Beishami says avalei tavshav, that you can't put back on a cooked dish. So and they said you can only put on a cooked drink, a hot drink. So therefore, when Beishami says that you could take but you can't put back, we know that you can't put back a cooked dish. He already said that. So what's he repeating again? So therefore, it must be that the Mishnah is talking about Shehiyah, and that you need to have garf or katam even from before Shabbos. And obviously the raya is that we don't. Our Mishnah is not like Chananya, because if it is like Chananya, and that is the whole discussion is only regarding returning, so it's redundant. We already said what Bishamik could return, and that you can't put back on the tafshal. So why did we go ahead and repeat it, that you could take it and you could, but you can't put back, which obviously is talking about a cooked dish, because he said you could put back a hot drink. But we already said that, so why are we repeating it? So we continue on to Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, no. In truth, I could tell you that the Mishnah is like Chananya. And that is, we're discussing regarding returning it on Shabbos. And that, whereas regarding Shehiyah, leaving on from before Shabbos, even if it is no blech, even if it is not garif, or you didn't take out the coals, it's permitted. However, chesur mechster, but the text is deficient. And Tosfos says, the reason why we were, so to speak, matrik ourselves, we pushed ourselves in, to give like a difficult reading in the Mishnah when it makes so much sense according to the other opinion, is because Tosfos' shita and Rashi's shita is that since halacha we pass on the Chananya, which is debated up until the contemporary Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, therefore Tosfos says that that's why we tried to, so to speak, force it into the Mishnah to say that the Tana of a Mishnah is like Chananya, because that's how we pass in like Chananya. And therefore the Gemara says, and this is how he's supposed to learn the Mishnah. Kirishes the Kubakash Bagava, regarding the stove that was heated with straw with stubble, Machzir Nala Tavshal, you're allowed to put back on Shabbos a cooked dish. Again, we're talking about Chazar, because from before Shabbos, it's always mutter. Bekefes of Eitzim Loyachsa, but regarding wood and the sesame seeds, you can't return it. Achi Yigrif, until you shovel it out, or Yachi Nesef, or until you put ashes on top of the coals. However, these are the words that are amended. Avolishes Mashin. But regarding Shehiyah, leaving off from before Shabbos, that you're allowed to do, Afa Pisha Enegar Venekatim, even if it's not, so to speak, the coals taken out and it's not covered with ashes. And that is what the Mishnah's first clause says, Mahid Mashin, and what are you allowed to leave from before Shabbos? On that, Beshamay Oimim Chaman Abloy Tavshal, that from before Shabbos you could only leave a hot drink, but not a cooked dish. Beshamay Oimim Chaman Tavshal, you could even leave not only a hot drink, but even a cooked dish. And then other words are amended regarding the second clause, to go back to the beginning of the Mishnah, and this returning that we mentioned to you, that is, you shouldn't return it until you did garf a katan, that you put on, that you took out the coals or you covered with ashes, that is mashma, but that when it is garf a katan, that if you took out the coals, then we're permitted to do chazar and Shabbos, and that the Mishnah ends off, the second clause, lav devar koli, that's not everybody's opinion, and that is, Bisham does not hold of chazar at all. Elamachloikis Bisham Bisil, rather as a machloikis Bisham Bisil. And that's where the Mishnah ends off, which we have in our Mishnah. Shabbos Shami Oimim, Noit Lemolei Mechzim. Gishami says you can only take off. Again, I allowed you to leave on a hot drink, but you can never do Chazor. You can never put it back on the fire on Shabbos, even if you took out the coals or you put on like what's known as a blech. So Lo Oimim HaMechzim, however, Beisil says you could even put it back. And therefore, it's not resolved this question who the Mishnah is like, because it could be like Chananya, the way we just resolved right now, that the Mishnah is discussing only Chazor, that a Shehiyah is always mutter as long as it's cooked a third. And this, that it was difficult, what's the redundancy is because you have to, so to speak, understand it in the context that the first clause goes to a new halacha of Shehiyah, and then the second clause goes back to what the first part of the Mishnah was talking about, which was talking about Chazara, which was that this, that we allowed you to do Chazara when there's garf or katim, when there's a blech, is only according to Basil, and Bishami argues on Chazara at all, and he only allows for regarding Shehiyah that a hot drink and not a cooked dish.